Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Christian Historical Fiction Talk. I'm your host, author Liz Tolsma. I'm so glad to have you along for this episode. We have another great author along with us. I keep telling you, we have great authors, and I know you aren't disappointed because they are all terrific in their own way. Before we get to that interview, though, let me just remind you real quickly, because I know you know it, but just a reminder, if you're new here, welcome. We are so glad to have you along. We hope that you find lots of great information here, that you get lots of new book ideas, that you're introduced to plenty of new authors, and that you have a lot of fun along the way. We're so glad to have you. Please subscribe to Christian Historical Fiction Talk on your favorite podcasting platform, because if it's happening in the world of Christian historical fiction, we are talking about it right here. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. Christian Historical Fiction Talk is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So sometimes we'll hang out there and have some conversations about books, or I'll share some books that I'm reading or something I think you might enjoy. Or if I see a sale about some books that we've talked about here, I might post that as well. And I also let you know when I have new episodes releasing over there. So please join us over on social media. If you would like more information about today's author, about her book, and about where to buy the book, then please head over to my website, which is liztolsma.com, and there you can find all that information right at your fingertips, like I said, along with a handy link to order the book. So your one-stop shop for everything is over on liztolsma.com. All right, so we have gotten all the preliminaries taken care of and out of the way, and we are ready to dive into today's interview. Our guest today has published over 30 books. She is quite prolific, as you will find out. She has won multiple awards for her books. She's both traditionally published and independently published. She writes both for the adult and for the YA market. She writes a wide variety of time periods, everything from medieval to the 1700s and 1800s. And so anything that you can think of in the historical genre, she probably has done. And the newest book that she has out is called Come Back to Me. And it's her first foray into something that is called time-crossing romance. You might also know it as time travel. And I've really enjoyed reading Come Back to Me. It's a new genre for me, but a terrific book by an awesome author. Please help me welcome Jody Headland. Welcome to the show, Jody. We're so glad to have you with us this week.
Well, thank you for having me, Liz. I'm glad to be here.
Why don't we just start off with having you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, sure. Well, I am a busy mom. I have 5 children, and now that they're on the older end of the spectrum, my drama has changed from, you know, the wiping the nose to the curfew issues and those kinds of things. But I live in Central Michigan, and I've been married for over 30 years to my college sweetheart. And my husband has been one of my biggest cheerleaders over the years, really doing his best to understand and support my writing. Even before publication, when the idea of being an author was just a whisper of a dream. And so now we are celebrating this summer, like I said, 30 years of marriage, and our children are, like I said, getting to be on the older end of the spectrum. My twins just graduated from college, and I have a son who just graduated from high school, and we celebrated that last night in a party. And so it's been an exciting year, and I have one left in high school. And so I find myself entering a new life stage, sort of a half empty nest. Right. I'm still busy with lots. One of my daughters is in grad school, and so she's living at home. But overall, I'm entering this new stage where I have more time to devote to my writing, and it's kind of exciting.
That is. It's a fun, exciting stage. I'm just about there with you. I have one completely out of the house, one who's
just about finished with college and one who's in high school. So right there with you about that stage of life. It's very interesting. Yeah, they come and go all the time, don't they?
I know. Yeah.
Now you have a brand new release just out.
Yes. My newest release with Revell is called Come Back to Me. And this story is a new genre for me. Typically, I write in the historical romance genre with different series. I've done an Orphan Train series based on the women who are part of that movement. I've also recently done a Brideship series involving women who lived in England and sailed to the Pacific Northwest for the purpose of marrying men they didn't know. It was a very interesting and fun series to write. And currently I'm also working on a series set in Colorado during the post-Civil War era before Colorado was a state. And so that is a family saga. And so all of that is historical romance. I also write in the young adult genre and do medieval fairy tale-like stories. And I have several different series that are in that particular vein of writing. And I also have written a couple of fictionalized biographies about great heroes of the faith. And so overall, I would say my umbrella is that I'm a historical writer, and everything kind of falls under that umbrella in a different way. But this new book, Come Back to Me, this particular genre is what is known as a time crossing, also known as time travel. And so this particular series, Waters of Time, is kind of a new thing for me, as well as in the Christian book market. There's not been a whole lot done in this particular genre. And so I'm excited to be writing something a little different and fun. Yeah, so that I can just share a little bit about the story, if that's okay with you.
Please do, yes.
Okay. Well, this story is about a research scientist, Marion Creighton, and she lives in modern times, and she and her father share one goal, which is to help find a remedy that can cure her sister Ellen of a deadly genetic disease that already stole their mother away. However, as Marion starts looking into her father's methods, she finds some of his research to be a little bit crazy, and she doesn't quite understand what he's doing and feels it's a waste of time. But then when her father falls into a coma after drinking a vial of holy water, she starts to investigate even further and determines that some of his theories may have some validity, especially when she begins to experience some visions of the past for herself and also experiences some break-ins and kidnappings and other things that convince her that this research her father has landed upon is pretty important. And so eventually she decides to take the plunge and follow her father back to the Middle Ages, because apparently that she has come to understand that that's what has happened to him when he fell into his coma, that he went back in time. So she goes back in order to save her father and her sister. So this particular time crossing novel doesn't use a time machine like we're used to thinking of in various shows, like the recent one Timeless that was on TV, or a fast car like in the old movie Back to the Future, that a fast car was used, or even like the Stonehenges like in Outlander. Those methods take the body entirely out of the present and plop it down into the past. And so when I was thinking of time traveling and I wanted to come up with a story, I thought, what about a time crossing that isn't quite so obvious, where bodies aren't disappearing? How could I make that happen? So in crafting Come Back to Me, I wanted to create something that was at least partly believable, if that's possible with time travel. So yeah, I started doing research on people with comas, and I read accounts of people who actually woke up from their comas describing having very realistic dreams while in their comatose states. Dreams that almost felt like they were living in an alternate life. And so that really perked my attention. And then I was also doing some research into ancient holy water, which was once believed to cure diseases. The holy water was sold in medieval times to pilgrims in a small flask known as an ampulla. And there are many recorded healings and visions that came as a result of this holy water. In fact, if you were to go to Canterbury Cathedral, you would see what are known as the miracle windows there, which in stained glass record some of these healings that took place. And so after discovering that these realistic visions were connected to not only comas, but also to the holy water, I decided to merge those two concepts. And so that's become my vehicle for transporting my characters into the past. And so that allows the reader to wonder, perhaps by the end of the story, did they really just have a vision or did they really go into the past? And the characters kind of struggle through that issue as well. So I found it was just a lot of fun to let my imagination roll with those concepts. And so this story is what that's all about.
And it's a wonderful story. I wasn't sure what to expect when I picked up a time crossing romance and wasn't sure how this was all going to work and how I was going to feel about it. But I'm being brutally honest, but I really have enjoyed it a lot more than I even thought I would. It's been a lot of fun. I'm deep back in the medieval time period now. So she's back there in the medieval time and all kinds of adventures are happening to her. I won't give too much of the book away, but I can't wait until I'm done with everything I need to do today and I can get back to it and hopefully get it finished up because I really, really need to know what happens.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up a good point. The main character does travel to the Middle Ages. And so in addition to some of this research that I did on modern day theories, I also brought in a lot of true things that happened during the Middle Ages. So for example, when she travels back into this particular time period, she finds herself in the middle of what has become known as the Peasant Revolt. And it was a time when bands of peasants roamed the countryside. They were discontent with taxes and their numbers were swelling every day. And it was a very destructive time. They pillaged and raped and left a vengeful trail of destruction in their wake, basically. And they attacked Canterbury and searched for the archbishop there. And they coerced knights or the noblemen into joining their ranks by threatening them with death to their children and family members. So it was just a really dangerous time. So I added in this very realistic battle that took place between the peasants and the nobility and put Marion right in this main character right in the middle of all of that. So that was really fun to write. It's always great. That's why I like the Middle Ages so much, because it's just rife with all kinds of good material for plots and for telling a riveting story. And so, I won't give away exactly all that happens, but most of what she experiences by going back into that time period is very accurate to what actually happened during that year that she was there. It was a great, fun story to write.
And it's a fun one to read. There's a lot of adventure and plenty of suspense. And like I said, I can't wait to find out how it turns out. Was there a real reason why you picked 1381? Just randomly, how did you come up with 1381?
Yes, 1381 is the year that she went back. There were several reasons why I landed on that particular part of the Middle Ages. And one of those happened to be that this was the time of the peasant revolt. So it did really make for a perfect time to bring someone in and have kind of an inherent conflict already there within the story. And I wanted to explore why the peasants were revolting. I thought that it was something that really could relate to modern readers as we struggle through some of the tension in our own culture today between different racial issues. And although this wasn't necessarily racial, it was definitely an issue between the nobility, the haves and the have-nots. And so it was something that did not immediately go away. This problem and these issues with the peasants and the inequalities that were rife in this particular culture, it would take literally hundreds more years before the issues would be addressed. But this was a time when people were beginning to understand some of those problems more so than they ever had before. And in addition to that, there was also the Hundreds Year War that was going on with England and France. And so it was a bigger conflict and an additional plot details that I could work with. And so it just happened to be also a time where there were miracles beginning to happen again, healings being recorded. And so looking at all of that together just seemed like the right age to set it. and it also, quite frankly, is an era that I had done some previous research on. And so I knew a little bit more about that time period than, like, let's say earlier Middle Ages. And it's interesting because even if you compare the Middle Ages to like the 17, 18, and 1900s, 100 years really makes a difference, even in the Middle Age, regarding what clothing they wore, what the weapons were like, what the architecture, you know, there's just so many differences even between 50 and 100 years, even in the Middle Ages. And so getting all those details right does take some work. And so since I already sort of was familiar with that age, that's one of the other reasons why I chose that time.
So do you find the research for the Middle Ages difficult to do? Because not only do you have this book, but as you mentioned, you have quite a number of YA books that are set in the Middle Ages. Is it really difficult to find out like what they wore and what their culture was like and even their language and how they spoke?
Well, fortunately for this particular book, I had the privilege of working with someone in England who is a medieval expert. And after I wrote the story and it went through one round of editing, I was able to have her, as well as an English editor, read through the manuscript and double check my facts. So I really appreciated that. And obviously, as you know, from being a historical writer yourself, we don't always get it right. Even when we have experts checking our facts, mistakes still somehow creep in, regardless of how hard we try to be accurate and how many people read the book. So none of the mistakes are this particular editor's fault. She did her best to try and steer me in the right direction on any facts that I may have gotten wrong. But no, she was very helpful. I also have, there actually are quite a number of books that are available for anyone doing research. In fact, this particular book that I used was called The Time Traveler's Guide to the Middle Ages, or to Medieval England. And there is one in particular that's set in the 1300s. And so it is very, very helpful with all kinds of details about every aspect of their life. It's almost too many details. Like, you want to include everything you've learned. And then as you're doing that, your editor says, this is too much information, right, and asks you to pare it down, right?
Yes.
Is this really necessary to tell about, you know, this particular thing in a whole paragraph?
Right.
So you end up having to cut out stuff. But yeah, it's always a balance as a historical writer, for adult fiction in particular, to know how much information to include and how many details versus how to keep the story moving along fairly quickly. And I find that that is one of the differences between my adult historical fiction versus my young adult, my YA, that I've noticed and gotten feedback from my younger readers or even older readers who say, I like your young adult fiction because I don't have to wade through so many details. Or someone who doesn't like the young adult fiction saying, I like your adult fiction better because you're more detailed. You know, so you get both sides of the spectrum of people who like it both ways. And so I would say Come Back to Me is somewhat a blend of that, perhaps. There's not a ton of historical details, but hopefully it's woven in such a way that gives a good sense of setting and just an air to what that time period was like so that readers can feel transported right along with Marion into the past.
I'd agree. It really did feel very medieval to me for all the details that you did put in. So I did appreciate that. And of course, I'm a historical junkie, so the more details, the better for me.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say that the historical hero, Will, he's rather swoon-worthy. Is there anyone in particular that you based him on, or where did his character come from?
Well, Will is a broken or wounded hero, and he's not necessarily based on anyone in particular, other than when I was doing some research on the Hundred Years' War and was researching some of the battles and some of the accounts that knights had written about their experiences that they had. It was so, well, excruciatingly difficult for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, from a modern perspective as well, to think of the types of bloodshed and fighting and just this whole life. I mean, literally, they spent years over there in France fighting. It wasn't a few months for most of them. It was years. And so this was their lifestyle. And it was so brutal. And so reading about some of the accounts of these men and what they went through, I just had to create someone who'd been wounded emotionally by what he'd experienced, a sensitive, passionate man who saw things and experienced things and lost, you know, his brother in the Hundred Years' War fighting there and could not get over the guilt of all he'd experienced and done. And I wanted to have that kind of character within the story. And so he's the main hero of this story. And so just using that whole research to kind of bring this kind of a man to life, it makes him, you know, layering in all of that pain, but also this man who feels so deeply is able to, when you feel pain that deeply, you're also able to love very deeply. And so I think that combination of feeling the pain, but also loving so deeply makes someone very appealing.
I agree. 100%. Yeah. It does totally make sense. I think that's why he's one of my favorite characters in the entire book. Now, you write, as you said, a wide variety of genres, everything from medieval to, like you said, the Orphan Train and the Brides series that you had come out last summer. Do you have a favorite historical time period that you like to write?
Well, honestly, I mean, you probably feel the same way when you're in the middle of a book and you're writing it. you feel like, wow, this is the fun era. Like, I love this. And I you know, you're like in love with your characters and you're in love with your story and everything's wonderful and great. And then you start editing, right? And you're like, oh man, this is the worst thing I've ever written. Right. This is terrible. Oh my goodness, readers are going to hate it. And you kind of, you know, want to divorce yourself from this beautiful love story that you've written. And for me, that's kind of the process I go through with every book. And that, I think that's a really great thing for as an author. Like, you really do want to just let loose and enjoy the story while you're writing it. And then put on a whole different mindset when you're editing so that you are more critical and you see things more clearly and you're nitpicking and you're just getting in there and reshaping and trying to make it as good as you can be. So that editing process is always a really stressful and hard thing for me. And I find myself editing more often than I would like. I mean, the writing itself for a book, you do once. But then when you edit, each book has multiple layers of editing. You go from your rewrites, where your editor sends you big picture things that you need to change. Then once that's done, you go into the line edit, where you're editing line by line. And then you move into a nitpicking edit, which is the third level. And, you know, somewhere in there, you may have your beta readers, or you may do some more self-editing. So it's just this huge, long process where you feel like you're in editing mode for forever. And so for me, that has not been something that I've particularly enjoyed, but I've learned to grow into that role of acceptance and realizing, you know, that this is just something that I can do. At first, I remember some of the first edits I got back, I would just be so stressed. I wouldn't even want to open them up. And, you know, it was just this horrible thing. And I've come to accept the feedback and, in fact, have grown to be even so appreciative that if I don't get enough, I'll go back to my editor and say, hey, I need more, you know, or can we get another person to read it so I can have more? And so with my publishing schedule last year, I published 6 different books. If you think about how much editing that involves, it was monstrous, you know, like I felt like I spent half of my year editing, and I probably did. And so again, it's one of those processes that you learn to accept, and maybe you'll never enjoy it as much as you enjoy writing the story, but it's important and you see it as profitable.
Yes, I would agree very much. And 6 books, lady, mm-hmm. You are crazy. I thought I was nuts with 4 books, but 6 books is insane. Wow.
Yeah, it was insane. Yeah, last year was really insane. And you can probably totally relate to the editing overwhelming feeling of, you know, you get, for me, like in June of this year, I'm going to have a couple of edits coming back to me from 2 different publishers and edits on a couple of indie books that I will have been sending out. Those will be coming back. So everything coming back all at once, and it's just hard to juggle it all and having to figure out deadlines for all of those and how to work it all in. So it gets a little hairy at times trying to juggle all of those deadlines and edits, but it's fun. I have to say that, you know, going back to your original question too about which genre, I've really enjoyed all of them. And so that joy of writing in stories that you just, it makes all the hard work worthwhile because you find so much joy in doing
it. Exactly. So you have quite a number of books coming up. Do you care to give us an insight into maybe 1 or 2 of them that you have coming out next?
Yeah, well, the next book after Come Back to Me in the Waters of Time series is called Never Leave Me, and that releases in January of 2022, so this next January. So readers won't have to wait super long between the 2 books. Yeah, and that story will tell about the sister who is dying of this deadly genetic disease, and it will give her story. So that is in the process of being edited or coming back to me, as the edits will be coming soon. One of those in June.
If listeners would like to connect with you, I was on your website earlier and noticed you have lots of fun stuff on Pinterest. So I followed a couple of your Pinterest boards. Where else can they connect with you?
Well, like you said, the best place to hunt me down is on my website, which is jodyhedlund.com, J-O-D-Y-H-E-D-L-U-N-D. And I have a contact box there that allows readers to email me. But another really great place to connect is on my Facebook Reader Room, which is a group, Facebook group that I have where readers can come and join and hang out with other readers and chat with them. And it's also a place where readers can sign up for early reading opportunities, which come from being a part of my launch crew. And the launch crew is something that readers can sign up for in my Reader Room. I'll post, for example, if I have a book releasing, I'll post about a month ahead of time, hey, this book's coming out. If you'd like to be on my launch crew, signups will be going live at a certain date, and people will, and then that allows readers who would like to join that launch crew to join.
Do you have any last words for the listeners?
Well, I would just encourage readers to try new genres, I guess, since this is a new genre, historical genres. I found that when I branch out, I always find new authors and new genres that I enjoy.
I agree, because this is branching out for me a little bit, like I said, and I have found I've thoroughly enjoyed Come Back to Me. And so we'll be looking forward to the next one when it comes out in January. Thank you so much for being with us, Jody. We've really enjoyed having you.
That's about all the time we have for today with Jody. We're going to have her come back on when some of her other books release and talk a little bit more to us. She's fascinating and has so much to say and so much to offer. My great deep appreciation to her for joining us and being such a fabulous guest. Like I said earlier, if you want to find out more about Jody, about Come Back to Me, or find out where you can purchase the book, then please head over to my website, which is liztolsma.com. You'll find all the information you need there. You can also find a link to buy the book, and you can find past episodes there. So if you've missed anything, you can get all caught up over there on my website, which is liztolsma.com. I am really excited for next week's guest, who happens to be Rachel Fordham. I've been looking forward to her new book, A Lady in Attendance. I have been keeping my eye on this one and waiting and waiting and waiting for it to release, and it is finally out now. And Rachel is going to come and sit down and chat with us and tell us a little bit more about her book and about her writing and everything else that we love to chat about on this show here. So please be sure to come back next week and join us for a chat with Rachel Fordham. As always, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your listening, and I appreciate your sharing the show with others who might enjoy great historical fiction. Thank you so much for joining me, and we will see you next time.